Thank you, Brother Terry. Pray for me, brother. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to ask you to turn with me, if you would like to follow along, to the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Pray the Lord would just be with us tonight as we look at this portion of Scripture and talk about the gospel and what the gospel does for God's little children and the wonderful blessing it is to us and the absolute importance for us to be able to be hearing and heeding and following and walking in the gospel. It's always amazing when you have thoughts on your mind and you come in and services and conversations tend to center around those thoughts and things that you hadn't talked to anybody about. They come in with those same kind of thoughts on their mind that kind of occurred tonight in the conversation before services. And I felt better about the text that was already on my mind as that happened and occurred. And I do pray that the Lord would bless us to gain some things from this passage of Scripture. We can begin right at verse 1. I'm going to read probably the entirety of the 23rd chapter and focus, if the Lord continues to lead as I feel led at this moment, probably in the response of the Lord Jesus Christ in explaining to the disciples what this parable really was all about. It's the parable of the sower. And tonight, as ministers stand before God's children, and today as they stood, and this weekend, and down through the ages, the Lord himself was the preacher of that the Lord spoke first this wonderful gospel. Of course, it was given to John the Baptist, and he came preaching the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then the Lord himself spoke these things to us, and he gave us the apostles who also confirmed his word with signs that followed, as we read about in the Hebrew letter. And even down in the day and age in which we're living now, God calls ministers to preach the word and to teach God's little children. And as such, they are as sowers that go forth sowing the seed. And the seed here is the word of the kingdom. And before I get to talking about it, we'll read it. Sometimes I don't get to read it after I get to talking about it. So Matthew 13 says, the same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together with him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. Forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who have ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Wherefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Tonight, as I think about the wonderful blessing we have of sitting together, singing the gospel, talking about the gospel, sharing the gospel, having some understanding of the gospel, having a belief in the gospel, having an awareness of what the gospel is, all of those wonderful blessings that God has allowed us to have, what a blessed people we are here tonight. And of all the things that are attracting so many people's attention in this world tonight, it's a wonderful event that the Lord has provided for us here tonight, that we can come away for just a little while, separate ourselves from this world, and sit down in a meeting where we are looking to the Lord to provide for us the food and the nourishment. We sing a hymn that says, "Break thou the bread of life, dear Lord, unto me." Tonight we need Him to bless us to be able to feed on His Word as His little lambs and His sheep, because we are indeed hungry for spiritual things. He says, "For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men," verse 17, "have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." I think about those in the Old Testament times under the law dispensation, and all the beauty of what went on in the ceremonial law, and all the types and shadows that we see in the Old Testament that pointed to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the Messiah. The ceremonial law is filled with pictures of Jesus. And I don't mean pictures in the sense of a portrait of Jesus, but types and shadows of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that Jesus would be and all that He would do, we see given as Moses gave the law and laid out line upon line and precept upon precept, all of those things, all of those sacrifices, all of those offerings, all that was done under the ceremonial law pointed to something that really was kept somewhat as a mystery until the Lord came and opened up the wonderful truth that we are able tonight, freely able by the Spirit of Almighty God, to share. And that is the gospel of what Jesus has done. See, they lived those years looking for the Messiah. They knew that the Messiah was coming. They didn't have a clear, at times, understanding of what the Messiah would do and accomplish. They had ideas about what He would do and how He would accomplish it. Many of them thought He would come and establish a natural kingdom, and that He would that kingdom would be above all kingdoms. And what they didn't see is that He would come and establish a spiritual kingdom, which He has come and He has established. And this kingdom today is part of what we are in tonight as we meet and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. In the book of Romans, we're told that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and joy. I may get the order wrong here, but it's righteousness and joy and peace and the Holy Ghost. When you and I are able to sit together in heavenly places in Christ and be able to feed on the truth of the gospel, feel the cleansing effect of the Lord and the forgiveness of the Lord by faith as we look to the cross and we recognize that that work at Calvary. We feel that He did that for us. We believe that He did that for us. We find a righteousness that we could never get in trying to get good enough or right enough or clean enough on our own. As a matter of fact, if we're trying to clean up our act enough to be acceptable with God, we're not really seeing ourselves getting better. We're like that little woman with an issue of blood. We're suffering many things of many physicians. We're just not getting any better. We're just getting worse and worse. Our righteousness comes to us in our conscience, in our heart, when we hear the voice of the Lord say that thou art my child, that I have paid the price for thee. I've done that which I've done for you, that which you could not do for yourself. And where do we hear that? We hear it in the teachings of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The message of the gospel tells about the Messiah that came. It is about the kingdom that He established. It is about the work He did at Calvary. It's about a finished work. It's about what God has done for His people. It's also about what God is now doing for His people. And it's also about what the Lord's going to do in the future. And it gives us some blessings that if we miss those things, we won't miss our eternal home, but we sure will miss a whole lot between here and there. I want us to be settled tonight on one thing. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. I want us to understand what the Bible says, that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven, Jesus said, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him which has sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that He had given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. And what that simply is telling us is that everyone that was loved in covenant before the foundation of the world, of the elect family of God, which by the way is an innumerable company out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people, we'll be with the Lord in heaven in immortal glory. God has finished that work, and that salvation is complete in Jesus. And all of those of His children will be recipients of that which He has purchased with His own shed blood. And there will not be one missing for whom Jesus died. A lot of people say Jesus died for everybody and hoping to get somebody. Well, that would make Jesus a failure. Or it would make Jesus wanting to do something He couldn't get done. Either He didn't, he could, or make Him awful sad in the sense He loves people that would be eternally cast away from Him. I'll tell you, heaven's not going to be a place of sadness. It's going to be a place of joy. It's not, and our Savior is not a want to be, like to be Savior. He is exactly what the Bible says He is. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. Why? For He shall save His people from their sins. He came to save His people. That's exactly what He did at Calvary. He didn't try to do it. He didn't just open it up and hope you'll get in it, or try to get in it, or then get in it and stay in it. Either start it, and I say to you, it makes sense. If you can start it, certainly you'd have to keep it. Some people say you start it, but then He keeps it. Some people say He gives it, but then you got to keep it. I'm telling you, if we got any part in it, that's the part we will mess up. Salvation, from the beginning to the end, is the work of Almighty God, of that which He has done for His people. And that is part of that message, or it is the essence of that message. The sower is to sow to God's little children. He says, these things, He said, many righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. They look for the Messiah. We look back that the Messiah has come. No, tonight we don't look forward to His coming in the sense of redeeming His people. We look forward for His coming again to take us out of this old trouble and take His kingdom home to be with Him in glory. But we believe that He has already come, that He has already died, that He's already gone to the grave, and then He rose again victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And tonight, as we prayed, we believe there's an intercessor, an advocate between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who's seated on the right hand of the Father tonight, making intercession for us. And that's all part of what many righteous men desired to see and did not understand them. Oh, they understood it in part. Even tonight, when we're talking about it, How full do we really understand it? How much do we have it? I feel at times I have a somewhat of a grasp on it. Then I'll sit in a meeting like I did this weekend and hear others preach, and I'll see some things I hadn't seen just as clearly, and it becomes more real to me. It gets sweeter as you go along, and we're learning, aren't we, as we live here in this world. And each time you come, if the Lord blesses with the preaching of the gospel, we grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And that brings about something wonderful in our lives. Our lives then begin to bear fruit. I love to see God's children bearing fruit. The Apostle Paul loved to see those that he had preached to walking in the truth that he had preached. And he wrote to them on some occasion. And he said, it's my joy to see you walking in the truth. And I love to see God's children are bearing forth that sweet fruit that comes as a result of hearing and heeding and walking in the gospel. There are some warnings here given to us in the way that we are to hear. There's another place in the scripture, I believe it's in Luke, but it's about being careful how you hear, how you hear. Tonight when we come to the house of God, or any other time that we come to the house of God, how important is it that you and I are, as much as we can be, attentive, and as much as we can be listening, and as much as we can be hungry, and as much as we can be desiring to hear the things of God. It's a blessed people that hunger and thirst after righteousness. The scripture says they shall be filled. And it's important that when you and I come to the house of God, that we're praying and not just taking it for granted. That we're praying that our minister would be blessed to preach. I hope y'all prayed for me tonight. If you haven't prayed for me, please do right now. And continue to pray as we're making an effort to preach. Because I'll tell you, if the Lord doesn't bless us to preach, we won't be able to preach. And we won't be able to sow any seed. In order to sow the seed, you have to have the seed to sow. And we don't make the seed. The Lord has to provide that. And then we walk in that which He's commanded us to do in sharing the gospel. And I love to tell the story, just like we heard tonight and sang tonight. It's a wonderful thing to find God's little children that need to hear this wonderful message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And this message is a message that is given to the children of God. Unless God has awakened someone, unless God has opened up the eye and the ear and the heart, unless God has touched the individual, unless God has brought them from a state of death to a state of life, unless God has done a work, the message of the gospel will have absolutely no meaning or influence or benefit. It may make them angry, but it will be nothing that they love or desire to hear. It takes the Lord to touch and tender the heart and allow one to be able to hear and heed the gospel. If you've ever sat in a meeting at any time, you know, I know there's times we all get weary, and I know there's times we all, you know, I've been sitting there on the bench. Sometimes we'll have a visiting preacher, and I'll be making every effort at times to listen and to heed in the old body. It's almost like driving a vehicle. Nobody wants to go to sleep while they're driving, do they? Nobody wants to do that. But you know, when you get tired, it's tough. Enough so that at times you have to pull off to be safe and go ahead and get some sleep. Because as much as you want to keep yourself awake physically, sometimes we can't do that. I'm not talking about that so much. I know sometimes we can get so physically drained. Now, I will say this. Sometimes we spend ourselves so much in doing the things of this world that we've worn ourselves out. And I'll let you be the judge of that. We've worn ourselves out to the point that when it comes to do the most important thing that we'll ever do in our life. Can I say to you tonight that the most important thing that you and I will ever do in this world, as we're here in this world, as a little child of God, the most important thing that we can do, the most beneficial thing we can do for our families, the most beneficial thing we can do for our homes and for our workplaces and for our lives, is to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to His word like a little Mary did when Martha was out there just working and cumbering and trying to get everything done, and even said to Jesus, oh, you know, this Martha, Martha got upset because Mary wasn't working. And he said, Mary, tell Mary that we got a lot to do here. You tell Mary that she needs to help me. I got a lot to do. And the Lord looked at Martha and He said this. He said, Martha, Martha. I love the way the Lord talked to His children. Preachers ought to talk like that too. You know, sometimes we try to hammer something home. And I find the children don't respond when you're yelling at them very much. They listen a whole lot better when you're gentle and you're kind. And Jesus didn't drive his sheep. He led his sheep. And he's called under shepherds to lead his sheep. Doesn't mean you don't goad them along the way. Doesn't mean you don't have the rod and the staff and things and the correction that comes from God's word. Doesn't mean you hold back things they need to hear. It's just always to be delivered with all longsuffering and doctrine, so that what you say is coming from the Bible, and it's said in love, and it's said in a way that I long and desire for them to walk in it and follow it, not to drive them away with it. And brethren, sometimes you and I can approach the service of God so haphazardly and so lightly, as if it's just another Sunday night meeting, or, well, it's just another Sunday morning meeting, or, well, it's just a few here tonight, or sometimes we may at any time get our minds so much. You see, especially when you got all the kind of things, like if you're a teacher and you got all these kids coming, you get your mind all focused on something else. And you know, and I'll fit in Sunday night church, and you know, I got to get ready for Monday. I got a lot of things to go. I'm telling you, when we do that, we neglect the most important thing that we have in this world, and that is to be able to sit with Jesus and listen to the gospel being preached and taught. You see, a man can't preach the gospel without Jesus being there. If you're having preaching, otherwise he's just up here talking and it's not doing you any good at all. Tonight, if you and I have fellowship, and I feel I've had fellowship with you, I feel like I've hugged your neck and I love you. I feel like there's a kinship. I'm not faking it. I love you, dear children. And the Bible says that if we truly, truly have fellowship one with another, then our fellowship is not just with us. It's with Him. It's with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You know, I think of our union meeting and the associational meeting, the meeting this weekend, the other meetings we've had. And sometimes it's those little meetings like over at Cedar Creek this afternoon. I wasn't there. But, you know, it may be one of those places that somebody would say, well, is it just going to, how many, maybe up in Martinsburg where you have just a few that gather in. I'll tell you, I've had some of the sweetest times in some of the smallest crowds where you felt like the Lord was right there. Sometimes you can get lost in those crowds, the big crowds. And I've been times I've been in crowds and I've been in meetings so much. I remember one time I was in a meeting and it was my birthday. And I got so lifted up during the meeting, I forgot the whole day that it was my birthday. I got through the next day and I went like, I missed my birthday. It was yesterday. You know, now I like missing them. Back then, that was many years ago. I really wanted to, like Jimmy today, we told him we're going to sing happy birthday to him. He said at one time, I would have told everybody it was my birthday. Now I like to just let them pass, you know, just let it go without being called out. I understand what he was saying about that. I'm telling you, of everything you ever do in this world, there's nothing more important than what we're doing here tonight. Brethren, let's try the best we know how to keep that in our thoughts and in our minds, so that we begin to do what the Lord says in the Word of God, and that is to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. This is talking about those who are hearing the parable. He said the parable of sower. The sower went forth to sow. He says, for anyone that heareth, he goes, verily, he says, hear ye therefore, in verse 18, the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now, sometimes men may look at this and they may think this is talking about those that are not God's children. And I will say this about that. We know that if a man is not a little child of God, he will not have an ear to hear the gospel. He won't have a heart to understand the gospel. He won't have the ability to know the gospel. He will have a hard and stony heart, and there's no benefit that he will have sitting under the gospel other than the good moral instruction that's found in the Word of God may be of some benefit in a natural way, but it will have no spiritual benefit, and will have no spiritual meaning. It takes the Lord to open up our understanding, is what I'm saying. But I believe this is more referring to us and the way we hear the gospel. There are some times that you and I are like those that receive the seed by the wayside. In other words, the gospel is being preached, and we've become either negligent, or we become a little careless, or we become a little slothful, or we become, you know, well, I'm here, but I'm, you know, it's like I'm checking my checklist. I got there. I feel the seat. But say, when it comes down, I can be, can we not be at a place and have our mind and thought everywhere else? Can we not be right under the sound of the gospel? And yet, there are many things that can cause that. Sometimes it's just that we're just not that interested. Now, brethren, when we think about that, I have to say it for me, you can say it for you. Isn't that a shame on us moment when we get to where I'm just not that interested? Sometimes I'm sitting at home and I've got a scripture that maybe is on my mind and something will pop up on the TV and I'll turn away from the scripture to listen to what's going on the television. And you may think, well, that's just kind of a normal thing. But I'm telling you, wouldn't that be kind of like Moses when he was called to turn aside and come see this bush that's burning but would not consume? Wouldn't it be like Moses said, well, just wait a while. I'll come back later and listen to in other words, he wouldn't be interested. We'd think Moses would have been really bad if he'd have done that, right? Yet I want you to know when the Lord blesses men to preach in this day and age, He has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe, that is to deliver them that believe, deliver them in a gospel sense. There's a salvation that comes when we sit under the sound of the gospel. There's a deliverance that comes. Isn't there a weight that gets lifted off of you? Isn't there a peace that comes? Isn't there a joy that comes? In the fruit of the Spirit, it becomes more abundant in our lives as we sit under the sound of the gospel. And I'll tell you what happens when we just sit there and we're negligent about that. The old adversary is right there just to snatch it away. Well, I didn't quite understand. Have you ever been there and you say, well, I didn't quite understand what he said. So I just kind of let that go. And brethren, is that what, you know? And then the next thing you know, you don't even know what it was. Well, I didn't quite get it, but it's gone. You know what? And the old wicked one, don't think, if you give him space, if we give the devil room, he'll come right in a meeting like this. And about the time that someone is saying something that you really need, he cannot touch your eternal destiny. He cannot take one that's a little child of God out of that place that the Lord has preserved for him. But he can bring, he desires, as he told Peter, to sift us as wheat. The old devil is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And if he can get our minds off the word and get our minds off the learning of the word, I'll tell you, our lives become very, very cold and barren and unfruitful when we forget about these things. He says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Notice it was sown in his heart. He evidently had the ability to have something sown in his heart. And that sounds like to me a little child of grace had it sown in his heart. But the wicked one snatched it away. It isn't his eternal destiny snatched away. It is that learning that would come in hearing the word. It's important to understand the word. I'm preaching something you don't understand and you ask me about it. It's important. We are to be good Berean brethren. They were more noble than those than it says in the Acts of the Apostles, the Berean brethren were more noble than they in Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things that were being taught were so. And brethren, I can't encourage you more or enough to study the Word of God and to study the things you're being taught and to be sure that that which is being said is in accord to the Word of God. He says, and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. In other words, I've seen dear brethren come and they hear that word and they receive it and they get happy with it, and you just see them light up and you can see it looks like, oh boy, the seed has found a good place, and they're, you know. But I'll tell you, just as sure as that happens in your life, there's going to be some tribulation and trouble and persecution that arises in that, and that's when we need to be rooted and grounded in the Lord and in the love of God. We need to be leaning on Him. It says, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, notice it didn't say if it arises. It says when it arises, because it surely will. And then it says, by and by he is offended. I thought about little Sister Martha. You know, she's worried about getting things all ready. She didn't choose the good part. Mary, though, chose the good part, didn't she? And did Martha have the ability to choose the good part? I surely believe she did. Now, does that make Martha choosing the Savior as her Savior? No, he was her Savior. You know why we know he was her Savior? Because John chapter 11 tells us that Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And I'm telling you, that settles whatever happens, whether Martha's working or whether Martha's at his feet. I'm just telling you, Mary's happy and Martha's troubled. When you and I get so worried about things in this world that we lose the gospel and what's going on in the gospel and what's being taught to us in the gospel, it doesn't change us in the sense we're not his children anymore. It's just we're not as happy. We're not as bearing the fruit. Little Mary bore the fruit. She bore joy. She bore love and faith and meekness and temperance and goodness and all the fruit of the Spirit, because she sat at Jesus' feet. And Martha, what was she doing? She was kind of barren and unfruitful, wasn't she? Was she a little child of God? Yes. But she sure wasn't showing the light. How much light do we shine when we are Martha? Isn't it so much? I hope tonight we're all little Marys. And I'm not, even I hope little Sister Martha back there is a Sister Mary tonight. I get on this subject and she always looks at me and I always think about it. So. I'm stepping on my own toes, sister. Because I can get so troubled. Get so worried about this. As if I'm in charge and keeping things. And the Lord has given me every reason tonight to trust Him. He loved me so much He sent Jesus, and Jesus died for me and paid a sin debt and has secured heaven for me. And every day I have an opportunity to walk with Him and sit at His feet, because He promised to daily load me with benefits. And He's there for me all the time. And I so soon become slipping out of that place where Mary was into the place where Martha was. And it doesn't change my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but it surely affects my fellowship. Tonight, I'll tell you, if you stop, one little sister said it, and If you stop hearing it, it has an effect. If you stop studying it, it has an effect. If you stop praying, it has an effect. If you stop doing what the Lord has taught us to do, and even though we're His children, if we get caught up, and it's easy to get caught up in this old world, you have an adversary that will cause you and do everything he can to cause you to stumble. And any time he can find a weak point, and we don't put on the whole armor of God as the Lord has taught us, and he hits that vulnerable point, then he'll continue to hit that over and over. As soon as we compromise, don't think that's going to be the only time, because if compromise happens once, it'll happen again and again and over and over, and all of a sudden you might wonder, how in the world did I get in this place? And I'll tell you, John Newton wrote when he said, how tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. You say, well, who's that? What's he talking about? He's talking about a little child of God that's gotten his eyes and his thoughts off the gospel, off to the Lord Jesus Christ, off the fellowship. He's not dwelling in the Lord. We're to abide in Him, abide in the vine. We're not talking about losing eternal salvation. We're losing the joy of that. So David didn't lose his eternal salvation, but when he rebelled and did contrary to what God taught him, he was a man after the Lord's own heart. He never lost that. But you and I can be like David and harden that heart and end up going in a direction that we should not go, and as a result, even get to the place he cried out, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He didn't lose the salvation. He lost the joy. And by the way, joy is one of those fruit of the Spirit. Okay. He heareth and with joy receives it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. Expect tribulation to come. Expect persecution to come because of the word. Let us never be offended. Ashamed of Jesus, that hymn writer said, let us never be. There may be a time where you'll be called to task. Do you believe? We don't know. It happens. It becomes seemingly easy to deny and walk away, as if, no, you know, just walk. You know those times you're supposed to say something, you don't. You know those times you're supposed to be quiet, you don't. The Lord, I don't have to tell you about that, because the Lord has told you already about that, brethren. There's a time for God's people to stand up and say what's necessary to be said, just like the three Hebrew children before Nebuchadnezzar, just like Daniel in the face of a den of lions. There are those challenges for us as God's little children. They were there for our forefathers. They'll be there for us, and those that, if the Lord tarries, that are in the future, as sure as we stand for what's right, there's going to be persecution that arise, and by and by they become offended. That was those that received the seed in the stony places. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world. Care of this world. Have you ever had the care of this world take you out from hearing the gospel? Have you ever been concerned so much about the world you just couldn't hardly get the message? The deceitful, it says, the care of this world, and this one really gets us, the deceitful of riches, deceitfulness of riches. Riches is a deceitful thing. When people start going after riches, they're in trouble. When the love of money starts ruling your life, you're in trouble. When it becomes what I've got compared to what someone else has got, what I can get, what I'm going to need, what I've got to have, and we begin to live our life based on getting whatever we think we need in that way, and we lose sight of the most important things that can enter into the life of a little child of God. They're still God's children, but it can rob them to the point that we have seen some that would go after that and leave the most precious. Listen, the riches that you and I have tonight in this little meeting are more than all the money this world could afford. If you can understand that Jesus is Lord tonight and be wanting in your heart to sing that, you've got more riches than any rich man in this world would ever have. I'll tell you, it's more valuable than all the silver and the gold this world could afford. That hymn writer wrote it. Brother Ralph Harris wrote that about the treasures, those that seek for wealth. The treasures that are above far exceed any of the wealth you can have of this world. If you have godliness tonight with contentment, if you're content, are you content tonight? I hope you are. I hope you're content with where you are. I hope you're content with what the Lord's given you. I hope you're content in the state that you're in. And that is something we learn. Now, how do you learn that? Well, the gospel comes and tells you that. That's what preachers preach to you. Sometimes it kind of hits you. Sometimes I think they step on my toes sometimes. Sometimes they can kind of upset me. Sometimes they might say things that I think, like I told one of the preachers over the weekend, well, you've quit preaching now and gone to meddling, because he was hitting too close to me. And what I'm saying is, though, we need that instruction. What does the gospel do? It instructs God's little children. And he says, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, it chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The little child of God becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, and some 60, and some 30. I want to look, and I know time is gone, so I am aware of that. We'll look at Galatians very quickly here, and I just want to look at that one passage in light of bearing fruit. And that is Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 gives us in verse 22 the fruit of the Spirit. And I want you to think about how the gospel brings these things into more evidence in our life. When I'm sitting under the sound of the gospel, I know one thing. I hear about the love of God. I hear about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear about what the Lord's done for you. And the more you hear about what the Lord's done for you, you can't help but love Him more because of what He's done. You know what the gospel does for a little child of God? It allows them to love the Lord more. It allows them to love one another more. It allows you to know how to love. It allows you to know what love is. It allows you to come to an understanding of how God's unconditional love for you is such a wonderful thing, how you ought to love Him because of all His great love for you. And if you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you. This love, as you hear more about the gospel, you grow in that love. I hope tonight you leave loving the Lord more than you loved Him when you came in. I hope you love and love one another. Isn't that the greatest of all the commandments? Is we love the Lord God, Lord our God, with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. And then the second is like unto it. We love our neighbor as ourselves. And I'm telling you, you find a brother who's in that and a sister who's in that, you find a happy little brother and sister. They're walking in the love of God. Now, what works that in their life? Well, the more you hear the gospel, the more you feed on the gospel, the more the Spirit of the Lord works in you. And gospel preaching is done in what? Power and demonstration of the Spirit. So it's not the minister, it's the Spirit that allows you to have that, and you grow in love. We ought to be growing in love. And I'll tell you what happens when you cut off the gospel. Our love wanes. Our love gets dimmer. Our love is not as good, not as great. It's not as great to the Lord, and it's certainly not as great to one another. And then joy. I'll tell you what the gospel will do to make you happy. I've seen some sad people get happy with the gospel. I've seen people so happy they cried. It's a wonderful thing to see the joy. Joy unspeakable, the Bible says, and full of glory. Isn't it a wonderful thing when you're able to feel the gospel, hear the gospel, it makes you happy? Oh, it's a joyful sound. The gospel is a joyful sound. Some people are preaching the gospel tonight that's not a joyful sound because it tells of a Savior who wants to be. We preach and declare, by the grace of God, a Savior who is a Savior. And that's a joyful sound to God's little sinners. It's a comforting sound. The name of Jesus is a comforting sound in a believer's ear. It does soothe his sorrows. It heals his wound and it drives away his fear. It makes you happy. I hope we're happy in the Lord. Joy, have joy. That becomes 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Happy Creek ought to be a happy place. We ought to be full of joy. We ought to be full of love. We ought to be full of joy. In order for that to be, we need the gospel. And we need to hear the gospel. We need to heed the gospel. We need it sown in good ground. And we need to break up our fallow ground, and that's plowed ground, and needs to be broken up so that we might feed on this gospel like the church, the Berean brethren did. And then that joy. And then along with that joy comes what? Peace. I hope we have peace. When you don't have peace, well, what can bring peace? The gospel. It's the gospel of peace, isn't it? It's the message of peace. It talks about the Prince of Peace. Jesus is our peace. We need that declaration. Long-suffering. That's listed right here. Long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering. And gentleness. And goodness. And faith. And meekness. And temperance. We could spend a long time on all of those. But I'm telling you, those things make us worth being around. It makes us live. It makes us so we can be around other people. It makes you different. When those fruit are manifest in our lives, it makes God's children lovable, and it makes their life meaningful. And more importantly than what it does for them, it glorifies God. You see that? Now, He said, "Let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works." And what does it do? It glorifies your Father. What did He say about the fruit? He said the Father, there in John chapter 15, I'll just read that verse real quick. John chapter 15, because if I try to quote it, I know I'll miss it. He's talking about the vine and the branches. He said this in verse 8. He said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." So the bearing of the fruit's good for us, but more importantly than that, it glorifies our Father. And he says, "So shall ye be my disciples," that is, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. "As the Father loved you, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Now that means to kind of just lay down in it, draw close to it, walk in it as much as we can. And how are we taught to do that? Through the preaching of the gospel. And I'm going to stop. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. Brethren, I'm telling you, there's nothing like gospel preaching that will help the strength and the nourishment of a church. And the more we hear it, the more we're blessed to hear it, the more we have it. It takes the Lord to give it. The more we hear it and heed it and follow it, the more we'll grow in the fruit of the Spirit, and the more we'll shine as a city that's set on a hill to give the glory and the honor and the praise to the Lord. And when we get to the end of it all, we can give God all the glory and all the praise for every bit of it, because it's because of His blessings we have it. I do appreciate your kind attention, and please continue to pray for me when you have a mind. God bless you. I love you, my brother. God bless you.